At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dark Forest. Make sure to subscribe and click that thumbs up before you leave. Make sure to check out my Spotify and iTunes and other podcast networks. Check out the merchandise store and pick up a t-shirt, send me a selfie, and get some promotion online. Now, without further ado, let's get spooky. My car utterly wrecked, no saving it. Mashed up to bits. My sister had borrowed it and cheated death that day. Even after looking at the heap of scrap metal that was my car, I had no idea how she got out without a few broken bones. By all right, she could have died. But that's my sister. She had the best luck. She married a good guy with a decent amount of money for them to live comfortably. The day of the accident, they had taken their car in to get the snow tires switched to all-season ones. Her job wanted her to come in for an extra shift. She almost refused, but I lent her my car for the day. I was so thankful for having my sister, I didn't even think about how now I had to take the bus for work. Thankfully, my boss let me have the weekend off after seeing the photos of the crash. He also had no idea how my sister lived. I took care of things while she was in the hospital, and soon found out city transportation isn't reliable. It arrives late, or too early, or not at all. Sometimes it's so packed, you need to stand for the entire ride, and it takes forever. A city bus could take over an hour to get to a location that was only a 10-minute drive away. I sometimes could walk faster than the bus, but I couldn't afford getting a taxi to and from work. I thought about borrowing a bike, but it was still cold. During the day, it was fine, but when I worked into the night, even just waiting for the last bus nearly froze me to death. Sure, it wasn't going to snow anymore, but I'm very sensitive to the cold. I just never adjusted to the climate after we moved further up north, so no biking home. Aside from all that, the bus wasn't all that bad. I could get some reading in. I didn't read while driving, and most books I enjoyed didn't have audiobooks. That's how I found myself on the last bus home after a week of missing my car. My sister was doing fine, and I could finally relax a little before a stressful week of being late for work because of my new form of transportation and losing an hour of sleep each night riding home. Because it was so late, it was just myself and the driver for most of the ride. I still had half a ride to go when the bus stopped to pick someone up. My nose buried inside my latest trashy romance, I didn't even look up to see who it was. Even with the empty bus, they sat right in front of me. Odd, but I wasn't complaining. I took a quick glance and noticed they were short. They had bleach white hair. I glanced at my watch and groaned at how it was almost close to midnight. I lived close to the bus depot, so that was lucky. Not every route had a bus running so late. I got off at the second to last stop. The bus normally turns its light off once I got off, so I knew it was out of service when I was within walking distance of home. In the past week, I had never seen anyone get on this late. I shrugged, and I went back to my book. Then, another person got on, which was weird. I didn't think we had actually stopped, just paused at a red light. But I had seen kind bus drivers who pick people up if they tapped on the door if the bus had stopped somewhere. This time I peeked up, but the person who got on was so tall they crossed the bus fast. They were dressed in all black and had passed me before I got a good look at them. I started to turn my head for a discreet peek, but a voice in front of me made me stop. "Don't look at it." The voice was soft and it sounded like it belonged to a child. I stared at the person in front of me instead of the one who had just passed behind. "It?" I said slowly. "May I sit beside you?" It was an odd request, but if I was talking to a child, I didn't see why not. Without waiting for an answer, the small child in front of me got up from his seat and walked to sit next to me. I was guessing it was a boy, but it was hard to be sure of children. He was wearing gender-neutral clothing. Just a big gray sweater, jeans, and I was shocked to see no shoes. Why was he out so late? Where were his parents? Why was he missing his shoes? I had put the other person on the bus out of my mind as I looked over the child. He finally raised his head to look at me, and under his long, wavy, white hair, pink eyes stared at me. I had never seen someone who was albino before, aside from some photos. It was off-putting for a second, but I focused on the more important questions. "What are you doing out so late? Do you have a guardian I can call? Are you hurt? And where are your shoes?" Each question made him look slightly more annoyed. He had a very neutral look, but his eyes narrowed just enough to make me stop and let him answer. "In the past 6 months, 10 people have disappeared from this bus route. 4 have been bus drivers. Are you aware of this?" He was speaking so softly he was hard to hear, but I got the idea. I had actually heard the stories in a way. I have overheard people at my job talking about some missing bus drivers on the last bus for the night. I've been so busy at work, I never stopped to chat. I heard there was a post going around alone about the rules to survive the late bus, but once again, I never cared enough to look it up. "Aren't you too young to be scary story hunting? Is this for a video? You really should be in bed." I let out a sign and put my book away in my bag. I was reaching for my cell phone to see how to report a missing child when he sloshed in a seat. "Fine. If you do not believe me, then look behind us at the figure sitting at the back of the bus. It's your life after all." He sounded a little like he was pouting, and strangely, a little too mature for his face. I gave him a confused look. What on earth did this other passenger on the bus have anything to do with this weird conversation? The bus stopped for a red light again. The driver looked in the mirror mounted at the front of the bus so he could see most of the bus. Since we were on an empty street, he felt safe enough to take his eyes off the road and look behind at us. "Hey, Missy, who is your friend? And when did he get on? I don't remember him at all," the driver said back at me, looking genuinely confused over the boy's presence. That made me look from the driver to the boy a few times. He was still sulking. I gave his arm a very light poke to make sure that he was really there and that both of us weren't sharing a hallucination. "I don't know who he is. He just got on a few stops ago, like a few minutes before midnight." The driver looked even more confused. The light had turned green, so he started the bus back up just to pull off on the side of the street and out of the way in case any cars passed by. He then got out of his seat and started to walk towards us. I mean, he honestly looked like he had no memory of letting the albino boy on. And he was a child out in the middle of the night. It was a good idea to stop and try to figure out where he was going and why he was alone. "Hey champ, what's your name?" the man asked when he was a step or two away from us. The boy didn't look up at him, though. He only flickered his eyes over towards me. "You can scream as much as you want, but do not look behind us." The boy's statement was so weird, no one answered him. The driver raised his head and finally seemed to look around the rest of the bus. Out of my sight, he spotted the other passengers, the tall figure dressed in black I hadn't paid any attention to. "When did you get on, do you?" The driver's words were cut short. In a blur motion, he was grabbed by long black arms and pulled back towards the rear of the bus so quickly, my brain didn't even realize what had happened. What I saw was impossible. The arms had just been far too long. Long black tubes with green clawed hands attached. On reflex, I almost looked behind me. Then I had remembered how the boy had warned me about looking. I forced my head forwards as I heard it. The kind bus driver who had just been worried about the small child was screaming and begging for his life. Screaming that stopped suddenly with the wet crunch I wish I had never heard. Once I smelled a metallic odor, I was certain it was blood and I started to scream as well. I clutched the side of my head and hunched down in my seat hoping it would just keep me safe from those hands. I screamed and I had to force myself to stop fearing they would make whatever just happened to the driver happen to myself. "You could keep screaming. Once it's out of your system, I could tell you how to stay alive." The boy's voice had changed. I still knew it was his, but somehow much more confident and much more like an adult. Far different from moments ago. I blinked away my tears and looked at him, my body shaking, but I had to trust him. "What is going on?" I pleaded, praying to get an answer. If the last bus stops at a crossroad at midnight, a dark figure may enter the bus and sit at the back. Until it sits, you may look, but once it sits down, do not look at it. Do not turn your head, no matter what you hear, no matter anything else you experience. The moment you look, you become its target. The figure shall not leave until the bus finishes the route and it's inside the depot. My entire body was screaming to just make a run for it. Even after the boy explained the situation, I just couldn't believe him and I wanted to leave. But I could still smell the blood at the back of the bus. Still hunched over, I tried to think of a different way out. "What are you talking about? And who even are you?" I finally asked that question. I hadn't asked for his name yet. Odd as it should have been, one of my first questions. Better late than never. "You may call me Ellie. I am here to find out if this figure was the reason for the disappearances. I am not here to save you. I could only give you information. You must act and get yourself safely home." "Now how am I going to do that? That thing killed the driver," I hissed, and tears starting to come back. I forced them down, not wanting to look weak in front of the boy. I was the adult, and he was the calm one. But after what I had just seen, I couldn't be blamed for losing my cool for a few seconds. "I know how to drive a bus, however. You need to be the one to do it. I'm just too short to reach the pedals." Under his white hair, I saw a flash of red on his cheeks. It faded as he straightened up and stood. Completely fearless, he walked towards the front of the bus, not looking back at me. He just stood right next to the driver's seat and waited for me to join him. It took everything I had to finally stand up. I walked over on shaking legs, clutching my bag. Every step I was certain I was going to be grabbed and ripped apart by those dark hands. Somehow, though, I made it to the front. I closed my eyes so I didn't look in any of the mirrors, and blindly stumbled around until I found my way up to the driver's seat. "I don't know if I could do this. Those mirrors, I might accidentally look at them." After I spoke, I heard a sound that could only be described as those worrisome mirrors being ripped down and tossed aside. I opened my eyes just enough to confirm that the mirrors were in fact torn off and gone from sight. "I did not remove them to save you. They also bother me, understand?" Ellie sounded suddenly very serious. I risked a dumbfounded side glance at him. He couldn't even reach the mirrors. How in the hell did he rip them off? He had no plan to explain it to me. "Can't I just leave?" I asked, shaking, staring forward into the empty and dark road. "No. You'll be unable to open the doors or windows. Until this bus finishes its route, you cannot leave." That was not at all good news. I had no choice but to learn how to drive a bus. After a crash course, I had to start up a bus and had to drive one. We were off. Very, very slowly off. There was no other cars around, so we should be fine at a snail's pace until I got used to this hulking thing. Ellie was true to his word about knowing how to drive a city bus. With him beside me, I thought I was going to make it out alive. Only a few minutes. Soon, it started to get cold. Ellie didn't look like he noticed. With his stone face, it was hard to tell if anything that had happened bothered him in the slightest. In a few seconds, the temperature dropped so low I could see puffs of my breath. With one arm, I pulled my clothing from my bag and placed it over my lap, trying to use it as a makeshift blanket. We slowly followed the route back to the bus depot. I had taken this route enough over the week, I knew the way. I wanted to drive faster, but I was still not confident enough. My hands gripped the steering wheel so tightly my knuckles turned white. I shook in fear and from the cold. I almost couldn't take the cold. I wanted to give up even before the whispers came. Horrible whispers floating around accusing me of being jealous of my sister, of wishing she had died. Whispers telling me to just look behind me, saying everything would be easier if I did. Tears started to flow down my face. If I wasn't going so slow and steady, I might have put us at a risk of swerving and crashing. I jerked a little, but corrected it before hitting the curb. I was so glad for the road being empty, but after a few minutes I couldn't take it and almost just stopped when Ellie's voice came from beside me. "What are they saying?" His voice was still as neutral as ever. Instead of sounding, he was asking about ghostly whispers tormenting me. He sounded like he was asking me for the weather report. "They are saying I'm jealous of my sister." My teeth were chattering from the cold. I couldn't say much more. "So, you could be jealous of her, and you could still love her, right? Say it back to the voices, that you could have both emotions, that you are only human, weak, and yet very strong." His words held some truth in them. A warmth came back to me. It was still cold, but I could bear it. I found I could suddenly push through the voices around me. I could focus on the road and follow the route. We were so close to the depot. If I had just pushed through for a few more minutes, I would be fine. I could go home. I repeated those words in my head. I would be fine. I could just go home. I would be fine. I still loved my sister. I would be fine. Even though I was driving faster, those last few minutes felt like an eternity. But we finally arrived at the depot. I panicked for a few seconds, but Ellie told me where to go. Oddly enough, everything was unlocked. The large garage door for the buses were open and dark. No one was around. I wondered if Ellie had anything to do with this. He was so clearly not human at this point. Child or not, he had something to do with the fact that no one being ready to receive the last late bus. The moment I parked and shut off the bus, I let out the biggest sign of relief. I was ready to leave. Beyond ready. "Don't move yet. Let me look first." I was a little annoyed at Ellie, but he was right. He had said that the dark figure would leave the bus once it was in the depot, but it was best not to take risks. I looked sideways at him as he turned his head to look behind us. He stared, and I couldn't read the expression on his face. He was about to look back at me to give me the all clear, but those long dark claws came shooting out. In utter horror, I watched as the claws ripped through his shirt and into his stomach so hard, they slammed his small body against the toll collector so hard it bent the metal. Ellie had a look of confusion. He didn't shout or cry out in pain. I reached out my hand to grab him, but was too slow. He was dragged out of sight into the back of the bus. And I wasn't having any of it. I had seen a photo the driver had put up of his family. This man had people waiting for him, and that creature took him away. And now it broke the rules and snatched Ellie. In my range of all fear, disappearing and closed my eyes and stumbled off the driver's seat. I fumbled around and found one of the mirrors that had been ripped off. I gripped it by the pole it had been attached to the bus. I was surprised by its weight, but I still lifted it off the ground and made my way back to the bus. eyes still closed. I bumped into a lot of seats and tripped over the two steps that led to the upper part of the bus. I honestly had no idea what I was going to do with that broken mirror. The driver had been killed seconds after he was grabbed. I had so much time and feared Ellie was already gone. If that was the case, I would beat the dark figure with the hefty mirror I picked up. It was a dumb idea, but I was so pissed off I wasn't thinking clearly. "Leave him alone, you piece of—" I was screaming, but stopped shortly when I heard a calm voice. "What are you doing?" It was Ellie's voice, but I still didn't dare open my eyes. It could be a trick. I debated on if I should just start swinging away, but my brave assault was stopped before it even started when the mirror was ripped from my hand. "You can open your eyes now. It's fine." I shouldn't have trusted it, but I had to see if Ellie was all right. Slowly, I cracked open my eyes just enough to see the boy sitting on the back seat with an empty black trench coat beside him. His sweater had been torn, but I saw no blood. None of him or none of the driver's blood I had smelt before. "What the hell?" I snapped at him, feeling pretty angry and confused. When something moved and fluttered around under the trench coat, I moved back. "I can't go into too many details. You know those rules I told you earlier. The figure broke them. Not only did it take bus drivers, making it impossible to give riders a chance, it tried to kill me after we pulled in. I assumed it would have killed you if I didn't remote it first." "I need a whole lot of information. Like what that thing is, and what do you mean by demote? Are you its boss?" "You actually don't deserve any information. You should just be leaving, but I shall tell you a little. I am not its boss. I am its king." I stifled a snicker. Ellie went on. "This figure is a type of creature that must go by certain rules to take humans. The more humans it takes, the stronger it gets. The stronger it is, the rules it goes by changes. If it finally gets strong enough, the final rule is just a human looking at it, but none really make it to that rank. They cheat trying to get stronger faster. It's my job to find those troublemakers and knock them down a few ranks."
"I guess that makes sense.
So I guess I'm lucky you came by to save me, huh?"
"I did not save you. I gave you information. You drove the bus. You didn't look behind you. If you looked before I did, you would have been killed. You followed the rules this creature had been bound to." Ellie was giving me a hard look, but I could tell that he was trying to act tough in front of this creature hiding under the trench coat. He was the one who offered to look first, but he was trying to act as if I was the one who had made the choice. I didn't know what the big deal was. So what if he helped me out? But he was so adamant, I decided to drop it. I heard a noise behind me before I could really answer him, and looked over to see that the bus back door had opened. When I looked back, only Ellie sat, but the black trench coat was gone. "You should go home now and forget this entire thing." Ellie got up and started to leave the bus, and I followed behind him. The bus depot was within walking distance of my place. I could easily get back home, but it would be impossible to forget what had happened. A man died. I saw something unnatural, and I sort of stole a bus for a few blocks. "I'm not going to be arrested for anything, am I?" "No. You'll be fine. Just go home."
Ellie was about to walk away from me, but I couldn't let him go just yet. I had a spare light jacket in my bag, along with some work clothes. I stopped him and placed a jacket on his shoulders. "It's cold out, and you got your sweater torn."
"You shouldn't be so kind to me. I used you as bait."
Even if that was the case, I still forgave him. Because of him, I lived another night. No matter how much he wanted to deny it, he was very embarrassed after I gave him a big hug. He tolerated it, but soon was trying to struggle to get out of my arms.
"Don't ever talk to me again."
With that quick dismissal, I watched as he jogged across the street and away from me. I thought he was a good kid, but I had to agree. I never wanted to see him again. I didn't take the bus again.
I spent a stupid amount on cab rides until I got my new car to drive to work.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints, Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.